Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
And today we're going to be talking about Kentucky Route Zero, Act 3.
Nice. I forget, there's four acts, correct?
Five.
Oh, there's five acts. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's five acts and maybe four interludes. So, actually, also, we are talking about the interlude here and there along the Echo. Also, that's the one that's after three, so that's also going to be included in our recap and discussion.
Cool. Yep. Well, not cool. I knew that.
yeah, you knew that, but I forgot to say it up top. Yeah, I think that the last episode maybe doesn't have an interlude. Act 5, it's just Act 5 and it's over kind of thing.
Yep, that would make sense since there's no episode interlude 2 or between.
Right, exactly. It seems like the pattern we've sort of seen thus far is that the interlude relates to sort of what goes on in the next episode, whether it's like a character or a place or like that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I agree. Makes sense that there would be nothing after Act 5 that's just over. I guess with that, we'll just jump into Act 3 and get going. So, this one begins with a flashback or maybe a dream. It's a little uncertain. Either one makes sense, I think.
Yeah, it's maybe a dream that... Sorry, you're good. Maybe a dream that happened, or who knows?
Yeah, it seems like it's either a real thing that happened, it's a memory, or it's a dream about a conversation maybe Conway wishes he had, or maybe one he like sort of had but didn't all the way have, something like that, it seems. But it's Conway having breakfast with Lizette. As they're talking, you find out that Lizette owns the antique business, and it was formerly her husband, and her husband was the owner along with her, and Conway worked for them, and... It seems like they had a pretty close relationship, Conway and the family, and they also talk about Lizette and her husband's son. As they're talking, you find out that her husband has more recently died, and then you also find out that further in the past that her son had also died.
Yeah, and maybe... jumped like her like fell off a roof or something. I'm not sure.
Yeah, as the game does, it gives you a few options as to how to describe it, and it's interesting because it's, you know, part of it could sound like, was he, I don't know, like manic or something and jumped off the building? Was it just an accident? It's a little hazy, but you can tell that it's certainly that feels fucked up about it either way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so interesting to kind of learn a little bit about Conway. Conway wakes up and he's at Dr. Truman's where we left him last week, who was operating on his leg. And after like Conway wakes up out of this daze, his leg is a yellow skeleton, kind of like the end of the interlude last time.
Yeah, super weird, and no one else seems to notice it, so maybe it's like a hallucination, or it's literally that, and everyone else is like, oh, that's normal, somehow.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it at all, because there's a part where Conway can acknowledge it, and he's like, yeah, this isn't my leg, and then everyone's like, oh, sure it is. So, <Yeah. laughs> I don't know what to make of it. It was odd. Weird details included in this is they talk about, like, the billing and apparently how Dr. Truman bills. It's through, like, the electric company, so a fee is going to be added to his monthly electric bill, I guess, to collect out on this. So it's very bizarre.
Yeah. Like, everything else in this game, it's, like, what? Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very odd. Yeah, it's strange. But from here, Dr. Truman also acknowledges that, like, Conway, your leg is better, but it will probably never fully be better. So, I don't know, you kind of got to rock with it sort of thing. Like, it's better than it was, but you won't get your leg back the way it used to be.
Yeah, and the nice thing is Conway's not limping, so he can walk a normal pace, which is great.
Yes, as the player, that was super nice that it was back to how the game started. So from here, the group heads back to the Museum of Dwellings, and while they're there, Shannon talks about her drug problems with Conway. Apparently, when they were younger, Weaver had a bunch of ADD meds and was like, these really help me, I don't know, be able to calm down and focus and blah, blah, blah. You should try some. And so Weaver was like, okay, cool. And it just basically like started a trend of using drugs to be able to focus or be able to, I don't know, keep even, it seemed like. And she was like, you know, sometimes you just take pills, whatever they were, you know, if they were expired or you didn't know, like, it was fine. That's what we do. You know, we didn't really visit the doctor, so it was like you'd get pills from a friend and just kind of roll with what you got.
Yeah, not the greatest, but, you know, I feel like it highlights the poorness of the town or something.
Yeah, definitely. That, like, you can't go to a doctor to get the meds you need, so you'll just take something from a friend who says, oh, this helped me out a lot when I had this problem or whatever, so... Yeah, not a great scene, but also getting a little more backstory on Shannon, because she's been more along for the ride, like Conway. Both of them have really been a lot along for the ride, but you didn't know as much about them. So kind of cool to get more info on each of them. They also acknowledge that the cave entrance at the McCrez farmhouse has vanished, so they can't go to the Zero that way, and they decide to head back to the gas station to see if Joseph knows a different way to the Zero. On their way there, the truck breaks down, and they call a tow truck company. The tow truck company is very strange. It's open 23 hours a day. You might have called them in one of those 23, or you might have called them in the wrong hour. And the operator is confusing. It's like asking questions that don't have to do with doing the pickup. And that they may or may not show up. It's bizarre.
Yeah, it's super weird. And it's funny too about like the entrance to the Zero. It does. I think one of the points I made last week was like maybe it's like a Twilight Zone or like a, I forget the other reference you had, but it almost seems like maybe that is the case. If the entrance like just changes or disappears, it's definitely not just a road. You know, mm-hmm. So that they kind of. You start to get some more clues as to, okay, this is kind of like a mystical route, and they seem to just already know that because they're not that surprised that the entrance to the farm in the farmhouse is gone, which is funny.
Yeah, they were just kind of like, okay, cool, that doesn't work anymore. There's got to be a different one. Yeah, that is interesting. So while they call the tow truck people, and they're kind of like, all right, we'll wait here till they get here if they come. Meanwhile, Junebug and Johnny are driving by on a motorcycle. They're chatting back and forth, and they see our crew broken down, their truck broken down, and they ultimately offer to help them. They realize that the only tow truck in town is the one that they called, and they were like, come on, you know they're going to take forever to get there. We should just help them if we can. Also, maybe we could get them to come to our concert we're doing. Maybe that would be a good reason to get them to come. We are late after all, so maybe that will kind of even it out for us.
Yeah, so it will just be more late, but at least we have a good, at least an excuse that covers part of it that they can just apply to the whole lateness.
Yeah, yep, exactly. So they stop and they talk to our crew, and our crew is, at least for me, they were not standoffish, but they were kind of like, oh, I mean, we called it a tow truck, we can wait. And Junebug's like, nah, it's fine, like, we got you. Also, we can get you directions to the Zero. And our group is like, okay, cool, that works.
yeah.
You can get us directions to Zero, that'd be great. And Junebug's like, okay, I can get you them, but we have this gig we're really late for, so we'll basically, like, get your truck going, we'll, like, mesh it together, whatever, to make it work, and then please come to this gig with us, and then I'll get you to the Zero. And our group's like, okay, cool, we'll come to your performance, that's fine. From here, it's the bar that the interlude last time was, and when you get there, bar's cleared out, I think. I don't think anyone's there except Harry.
Yeah. It was empty.
Okay, for sure. Cool. So, which would make sense with the timeline from last episode, is it ends with Hard Times Whiskey showing up. So, bar's cleared out, and Junebug's kind of like, oh, no one's here. And Harry's like, you're so late. Of course no one's here. And, you know, Harry's kind of mad. But Junebug's like, well, doesn't matter. We're here now. We're going to perform. And Harry's like, I don't have any money. I can't pay you. And Junebug's like, it's fine. We came to perform. We're going to do it. Like, you know, you can owe us or something kind of thing. And Harry's yeah. just kind of like, I don't want to do that, but okay, basically.
Yeah, I think he pays them in like an IOU from the Hard Times Whiskey, like distillery. It's funny. So then, yeah.
Yeah, super funny. So Junebug and Johnny perform a song called Too Late to Love You. Also, like the rest of the game, it's interesting. You have the like three dialogue choices, and I assume the song is somewhat different based on which ones you choose, which is interesting.
Yeah, is that a real song? I also noticed this was the only part I can remember where they actually, like, there's word, like, there's a vocal audio.
Right, yeah, you actually hear the song.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I found it on Spotify, so at least a version is there. I don't know if the Spotify version is, like, the quote-unquote perfect version or not. I don't know. The words I chose, I liked how that song turned out, and I think the one on Spotify is the same, but maybe it's not. I couldn't remember, like, word for word what I chose or not. I like
it. That's fair. Yeah, I mean, it was cool. Even the visuals were cool, too. Like, when they started performing, the Junebug, like, started glowing in some crazy dress-looking thing, and then Johnny? Yeah, Johnny, has like he had a cool keyboard, so it was cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that, like you said, it is interesting that they switched. There's been no audio, except for, like, sounds of things, but no, like, people voices or anything like that. So it's interesting that for singing, they changed it for that. That was kind of cool. Versus, like, in, like, Night in the Woods, when they did music and that, it was still just you'd read the lyrics kind of thing. So that was cool that this one changed to actually having audio for it.
Yeah, I like that touch. Because it doesn't hit the same when it's a song, but you're just reading it. It's like reading lyrics.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah, being able to actually hear them. And a cool time to, like, flip the script. So, like, I expect that we won't hear any words again, unless it's, again, maybe another Junebug performance or something like that that would cause that. And I like that this was, like, the reason they, like, changed what they do. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So, performance goes all good. Afterwards, Harry gives our group directions to the Zero. Junebug, it's funny. They're like, okay, Junebug, how do we get there? And she's like, I didn't say I knew how to get there. I said I knew how to get you there. and then Harry tells them.
Yeah.
kind of funny. So, from here, their directions to the Zero lead them to this mountain that they go inside of. And inside the mountain, they meet Donald and his research assistants who work with him, and they all live inside this mountain. This part's very confusing and bizarre.
Yeah, it's super weird.
Yeah, it's very strange. And the group is working on a project called Xanadu. Ultimately, it's this old computer that has black mold on it. And the black mold has, like, a weird effect on the computer, it seems. And so they're sort of studying how this goes. Yeah, it's very odd. You're like, I'm not sure what, like, first got you here, why you're still here. Like, it's weird. It seems like they kind of ran into, like, they were doing something and they saw the black mold and they were like, well, let's just keep collecting data forever for some reason.
Yeah, So strange. I didn't even know really what to think about this. But we can talk about it more in the general.
Okay. Part.
But yeah, very, very strange. And even the name is weird.
Yeah, I agree. All odd and kind of, yeah, just strange stuff. So the group ultimately, they like try to do stuff, and I think part of what happens here is that Donald's like, oh, Xanadu can get you to Route Zero. And we're like, well, the computer doesn't work. How do we, like, get around it? And he gives them directions out to go out of the cave. And he's like, well, if you go, like, out of the cave this way, you should be able to find your way to the Zero. I've sent research assistants before, and they've never come back, so, like, kind of beware. And the group's like, okay, whatever, dude. All right, we're going to do that because, like, we're getting nowhere with you, basically. From here, the group heads out of the mountain, and they arrive in a graveyard. And Shannon and Conway go leave to explore this nearby church outside the graveyard. And Junebug and Ezra are hanging out outside. After Junebug and Ezra kind of, like, look around at the stuff that's outside, Shannon and Conway run back, kind of upset. But they say, hey, we got it figured out. We know how to get inside Xanadu. So we're like, okay, cool.
Yeah, and I thought I missed something here. Because, yeah, I didn't play as them. I was like, fuck, did I, like... Did I not look at everything or something? So, yeah, I mean, we'll find out later what happened, but, yeah, super funny.
Yeah, it was weird, because you're just kind of, like, looking around at different shit with Junebug, and then they come running, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. We got it figured out, I guess. you get inside go back into the mountain, and you type in the password. It's maybe, like, a rhyme of some sort. And Xanadu turns on. And as you go inside, Xanadu is a text adventure game starring Donald, Joseph, and Lula. And it tells the story of how Donald ended up working on the cave project. You can get stuck in this for quite a while. I did it for a while until I went to a walkthrough to figure out how to end it, because it seems like you could stay in this part forever.
Yeah, because it's you have to answer or do the right things, right?
Mm-hmm.
To get to the end. I might have gotten stuck a few times, but with, like, trial and errors, I got out of it somewhat quickly.
Oh, nice. That's good. I definitely got to a part where it felt like I was, like, stuck in a loop a little bit. And I was like, how the fuck do I get out of here? Because, like, I don't want to be in here anymore.
Yeah, it's just a very weird section. And then you see, like, the skeleton guys again in the... Just, like, the one from the last interlude. Yeah, you see them again. So that was interesting.
Right, yeah. Because inside of this, right, they're doing research. Then they see the skeletons. And they freak out, and Joseph and Lula leave. They're like, fuck you, Donald. We don't want to do this anymore. That's scary. We don't like this, basically.
Yeah, which is a fair response, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he stays in there. I think part for mine that was weird was... Or I don't know if it was weird, but what happened was Donald and Lula were together for, like, a long time, and Joseph wasn't with them. He was, like, lost, and eventually he finds them, and he's, like, kind of not lost his mind, but he's not doing well because he's been in by himself in the dark for a long time.
Yeah, that would mess anyone up.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It's cool to, yeah, so, like, you already mentioned. So, yeah, we have Lula, Donald and Joseph. I wonder if they end up kind of being, like, this weird trio of more important characters that, you know, maybe their importance keeps growing as we get into Act 5 and finish it.
I think so. Also, for me, I don't know if this happened for you, but it didn't click to me that these were the Donald, Joseph, and Lula from Episode 1, like, that we've actually met all of them. So, Joseph, the gas station attendant we met in the beginning of the game, Lula, who we dealt with last week, and then Donald here. And just that, oh, okay, these people have, they were studying the miners, too, at one point. So, maybe the, skeleton people are a symbol of the mind drowning? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I'm sure we'll get more clarity on some of that stuff. Well, we do get more clarity, I guess.
Right. Yeah, for sure. Ultimately, after this, after doing stuff in Xanadu for a while and getting out, Lula shows up and gives information to Donald to process, and then tells our group how to return to the Bureau of Reclaimed Spaces from last week, and that once Donald processes that info, he'll get it to Lula. Lula will give it to them, and they'll be able to kind of continue on their journey. After this, we pick up at the Bureau, and Shannon gets the next set of directions for Dogwood Drive from Lula. So I think what Lula, part of the files she gave to Donald, were all of the files I think we got last week for all the Dogwood Drives, and so he like ran a thing to be able to try to find our Dogwood Drive, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
So that happens, and then Junebug asks, "Hey, you remember earlier how you were in the church and you ran out and you knew the password? What happened?" So then Conway and Shannon are like, "All right, I guess we'll tell you." So we flash back to the church scene. Inside the church, Conway and Shannon go inside and they sit on a pew and they're just kind of like, "Man, this is insane. How does things keep like going this way? You know, whatever." And they're kind of like catching their breath away from the others. But then, so kind of catching their breath. Also, Shannon tells Conway why she was in the mines. She says that she thought Weaver was dead, but then she saw her on the TV. And through the TV, Weaver told her to go to the mine. So I'm guessing it was another TV, kind of like the one we saw last episode, or maybe the first one, where it like got fuzzy and you could like see things that weren't there. And somehow Weaver communicated to Shannon through that.
Yeah, it seems like the TVs maybe are some kind of communication device into whatever happens in Route Zero. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That would add up so far. But it's weird we saw Weaver in person in Act 1.
That's true. Yeah, we did.
Well, but maybe she wasn't in person. I don't know, because then she like disappeared. So it's
I guess it's really hard to say. Like, I guess a ghost or something.
Yeah, or like I don't know. Maybe at that point Conway was already in Route Zero. He didn't know it. He somehow stumbled in there, saw Weaver, and then when he kind of fades away, when he stares at the TV in Act 1, he like kind of fades out. Maybe he like leaves somehow. Who knows?
That could be it. That would. I feel like that could fit for sure. After Shannon tells this to Conway, the pew suddenly goes down, kind of like an elevator, just kind of lowers through the floor and keeps going down. And they get there and they're greeted by Doolittle, who is a skeleton. And he says, "Oh, did you come here in search of work? A lot of people have been coming here for work. Some of them are coming to work off their debts. Welcome to Hard Times Distillery."
Yeah, you're like, "Oh, okay, this is weird."
Yeah, super strange. Didn't expect this. Even in a bizarre, confusing game, this was a whole other unexpected thing for sure.
Yeah, but what one thing that is cool is, so I assume he's probably the skeleton from the last interlude, or like one of the same skeletons. Maybe there's a crew of them, who knows. But that was cool that they added up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that would be my thought too, is if it was either he showed up at the bar at the end of the last interlude, or maybe one of the other people who like co-own the distillery with him or something. So Doolittle gives you a tour of the distillery, and he plans on giving you a job, giving Conway a job as a driver. And it's like, "Hey, here's the truck, you know, call in, show him how you can do like the you know, breaker signals to the other truck drivers.
that
you're like legit, and Conway's like, okay, over and out, it's Conway kind of thing. Like,
it's and, funny, that's like the only skill required.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Talk like a trucker, you got it.
Yeah, and then Doolittle's like, okay, cool, you're good. Hopefully you'll have better luck than our man before. And they're like, wait, what? And he's like, ah, it's fine, you'll do better. So it's like weird, of course. But Shannon then interrupts and is like, hey, we just want to know how to fix a computer. We're not looking for a job. We're totally fine. And he tells them how to make the computer work and gives them the password. He's like, oh, Donald, that idiot. This is his password. He just forgot his password. His other interns have come here, and then we've just, like, given them jobs or sent them on their way. They didn't want to go back with that, you know, ridiculous guy. Here's the password. They've told it to us before.
That's funny.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny that, like, they just got the password from this guy.
This random dude. Talk about really bad computer security.
Yeah, super funny. It's like, did they think that, like, the password, like, could prevent the skeleton from getting him, and they're just like, yell the password at him, and he's like, that doesn't do anything, it's a password, shut up. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's who knows.
So weird. From here, Doolittle congratulates Conway on his new job, and he says, you've done it, congratulations, you know how to do the breaker, you're our new truck driver, you're gonna be great. Also, it's customary for all new employees at
Hard Times.
It's customary for all new employees at Hard Times Whiskey to have a top shelf shot with me. You know, this is what we do. And Conway's like, okay, sure, to celebrate this new job. They take the shots, and then Shannon says, Conway's not taking this job. He already has a job. You know, we don't need this. We actually have a delivery we have to do. And Doolittle's like, wait, you're not working here? Well, you know, our top shelf, that's really, really, really expensive. Our top shelf is complimentary for new employees, but if you're not an employee, you have a large debt to the distillery that you're going to have to start paying off tomorrow. You can begin doing
that. And he's also like, also my time, I just gave you a large tour, like, my time is very expensive. It's like, dude, fuck you.
Uh-huh.
It just becomes, he just dings him for all the stupid, unnecessary time spent there.
Right, that they didn't want anyway. Like, that they got roped into. And then because he didn't take the job, it was like, okay, you didn't want the job and got those things for free. Now you have to pay for them. It seems like a spot where if he took the job, he would have been stuck in it anyway for a different loophole than this. Because he didn't take the job, he basically has the job anyway, just paying off debt instead. Undefined debt, too. It's a lot, is the comment.
Yeah, it makes me think about, like, the mining company from Act 1, where we don't see the mining company, but we pick up some of, like, the practices they had about, like, paying people in those, like, mining coins or whatever to buy things to survive and do their job. It kind of feels like that, where you're just stuck here, we'll keep paying you, but what you're really getting paid in is, like, we're paying off your debt to us, but your debt started while working here, so it's just a loop, you're just fucked.
Yeah, exactly. It's a bad situation, for sure. So, that kind of ends that. You return to the present, and the group is like, wow, that's a crazy story. And then they get on a ferry to go find Five Dogwood, and Act 3 ends. From here, you go to our next interlude, which is Interlude 3, called Here and There Along the Echo. What this is there's a telephone in front of you, and then there is a phone number written on a piece of paper. You dial into the phone number and you get this voice answering service about a I don't know, resort or information thing about the Echo, this place that's along the Echo River.
Which I assume is the river they're on in Act... They get on the ferry to go on in act, end of Act 3.
Yep, that would make sense to me. Okay, question off of this. Was it, like, super shitty and hard to see what your icon was over which number, or was it fine for you?
Yeah, it wasn't... I mean, sort of. Like, the cursor, it's like kind of like a hand outline that's just black lines, and the phone was like white and black, so it kind of blended in for sure. I didn't have like a whole lot of trouble. I don't think I mistyped it, but it definitely, I honestly thought this interlude was kind of annoying. I had more trouble like figuring out what am I supposed to do with this phone.
Okay,
more than just click the numbers, like you have to lift up the headset and do all that shit. That was kind of annoying. But yeah, so did you have trouble with the dialing?
Yeah, I don't know if I had like my color on my TV or like in the game wrong or something. I dialed the number wrong like multiple times. I was getting pissed because I was like, especially then what it was, I was like, god damn it, like it was so annoying to get here, and now it's still kind of annoying.
Yeah,
so I
just was like a real life automated phone system.
That's true. I guess that, again, if that's sort of your aim, that's cool. But yeah, it was, I something was wrong with my icons, whether it was like I didn't have them quite right, or maybe my color on my TV or something. I don't know. But something wasn't quite right. So it was a lot of like, I wanted the number above and I'd click the number below, like right next to it. I'm like, okay, I think I'm here. But then it was like not right. So that was that was needlessly frustrating, which may or may not have been their fault. That might have been mine. Like, I'm not gonna blame it on them, but it definitely made it harder for me to want to engage this interlude because I was annoyed by it, kind of. But anyway, what happens? The phone number leads to this guide service along the Echo River. You can click a variety of numbers to find out about things. Since I was annoyed, I only clicked a few, and then I watched more on YouTube, because I thought I could handle that more, because I was just annoyed in the moment. So, a couple ones that you are, is like, you can see, is like, press 1 for forgotten places, and they'll, like, describe forgotten places, like, a monument to something we don't remember, blah, 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 or to this, blah, 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 blah. So, you know, again, kind of more weird stuff, that you'd get. There's another one to a rum island. Apparently there's an island where they only serve rum, and it's like a bar resort island, it seems.
Sounds like my kind of place.
Yeah. There was like food and drink recommendations. It's very goofy for sure.
Yeah. I didn't really do a whole lot here. I think I clicked a few things and I was like, I don't care. I'll just see how this ties in when I play the next act, personally.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I looked some stuff up online and that was like good enough for me. Maybe if I would have had it work out and I was like in a positive regard towards this, I would have played around more, but it didn't. Also, apparently if you don't ever pick the phone up, after a while, you'll start getting random phone calls from people that are, like, weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, I think there's at least one that's, like, Morse code almost that comes through to you. So, it sounds strange for sure. Ultimately, though, when you hang up the phone, it's Emily, Ben, and Bob from some of the previous interludes and the game in Act 1. You hang up the phone, and they decide to head out to go get food somewhere. And so then your interlude ends. So definitely an odd one. I feel like for that interlude, it was... I felt kind of disappointed compared to the last ones. Especially, like, I feel like the one we did last time, the entertainment at the bar, like, I like that way, way, way more. Like, I thought that was super engaging and interesting, and this one was... not that. Like, I even... And the first one with Emily and Bob and Ben, at the art exhibit for Lula. I thought that was interesting too. So this one I didn't mm-hmm. feel as much. I imagine we'll go to this place or some of the places mentioned next episode, but yeah, this wasn't my favorite.
Yeah, I agree. This is maybe more, you know, general thought territory, but yeah, I think this was like, out of all the things we played so far, this was the one miss for me. Mm-hmm. That I just, yeah, objectively didn't like this interlude. I was annoyed by it, which if the goal was to, you know, create the perfect, realistic, like, what's it called? Automated phone system, nailed it. But if it was to like be entertaining, I think the developer missed on that personally.
Mm-hmm. No, I'd agree for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think that like I could have enjoyed hearing weird messages if I would have got there easier. So that one for me, I think can go either way on that part, since that might have been my fault. It might not have been. I don't know.
yeah.
I feel like that can kind of fall in either way. Because if you're like user interface is shitty, that's not my fault. But if, you know, my color setting wasn't right, that's my fault. So, you know, I don't know. I could see that going either way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess from here we can move into some general thoughts. Let's see. Okay, so I think a big one that I still have for me that we haven't talked about is, do the glowing skeletons represent like permanent debt, maybe? Like, or like, you know, un-get-outable debt, like Conway's leg. Mm-hmm. He's never gonna pay that off. He's going to die with that debt. Or these hard times employees, like, is it just they're staying in debt and so it covers their whole person? As for this, I don't know what it means.
Yeah, same. That's an interesting observation or idea. Yeah, that actually would make a lot of sense, because it does seem like there's been a lot of, like, I don't know, commentary on, like, corporations or maybe, like, debt and poverty and maybe even, like, bureaucratic, I don't know, not being able to help, kind of ineptitude, things like that. So I do kind of wonder, because this is the first time we've seen something as weird as, like, this. I mean, the skeleton shit's, like, really strange. I mean,
mm-hmm.
Julian being a giant bird was pretty weird, too, but this seems, and like, a different category. It's also interesting that there was no other skeletons in that. At least I didn't see any other skeletons. I also didn't do the full tour of the distillery. I'm not sure if you did and saw other ones, but
yeah, maybe I only saw Doolittle also.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if, yeah, he's just in the most debt. Who knows? But we saw other employees, and they weren't like looking like skeletons at all.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I think another comment sort of related to the skeleton stuff is this is less scary than I thought at the end of the entertainment. So the last interlude, I thought, glowing skeleton, that's fucking scary. Like almost like a horror thing or a monster kind of thing. And on one sense, I like that it's anticlimactic and it was just a guy who was a glowing skeleton. On the other, like, yeah. I did kind of like that it was something, like, it felt scary. And I was like, did he just go in there and kill everyone in the bar? You know, like, it sort of...
Yeah.
It sort of felt like that, and I don't know. I think both are fine, and they both have different, like, messages or ways of going, but I kind of like the thought of it was scary. Like, I think that would have been kind of cool if it ran with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like horror scariness wouldn't fit with this game.
No, I agree with that.
But it's almost more scary. Like, I feel like I'd rather be murdered by a skeleton than be chained to never-ending debt to a shitty company and have to work there. Like, so I assume the people in the bar. Well, I think you see the people from the bar or from Interlude 2 down in the distillery. Like, they're like this, I think they're in like the main section when you first get down there. So I assume they just got put to work. Yeah.
Okay. I did see people getting put to work, but I I didn't go talk to them and didn't, like, put together that it was them. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, that's almost worse. Is now they probably have to work there for the rest of their lives, or maybe for eternity. Who knows if you can die in the Zero. And also, another thing about the distillery, Doolittle kept talking about, like, their accountant and used to do something with numbers, but then she gave them the formula, this big thing, to calculate the debt ratio, whatever. And I think that was Weaver, because she never studied math or something in college and was like an accountant or statistician or whatever. So I wonder if she kind of worked there or was like the head of it somehow. Because she's obviously not there anymore, but that was something I was thinking about too.
I think you're right, is that she did work there and she did figure out their, like, how to put debt in the drinks or however that works. Yeah, I think you are right that she did do that.
Yeah, it's funny how Doolittle just keeps mentioning the formula, and I thought that was pretty funny, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost like they worship it.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
Just funny.
Mm-hmm.
One general thing too. I think this episode was, maybe the most happened in it, but I think it was also some more confusing for me. Like, I just kind of didn't know what I was supposed to do a lot or why I was doing it. It felt like a lot of jumping around and going back and forth, and I was kind of like, "What? Why am I doing? Like, why am I fucking with this computer? Why am I down in the distillery? Like, you know, things like that." I mean, it ended fine and like it all tied together well, but I think there's various points where it's like, I don't know why I'm doing this specific thing. It doesn't make sense to me. So I think I had some trouble following various points. I don't know if you hit that either. Maybe it was just me. Maybe I was just not paying attention fully.
No, I had the same thing. And I think like a thing that sort of compounded that for me is that this one has more like scenes than the other episodes. So like, I think previous episodes, it's kind of like act two, scene one. And then, you know, it maybe gets to like five scenes. It's not a lot. This one instead went way more. It went to like 10 plus. And
I think it was 13.
Okay.
Or 12.
It went high.
Yeah. Yep.
So there were far more scenes than before. And when I played two, I forgot if I could save during it. So I played probably like two-thirds of this game trying to rush one day after work before I had to go somewhere else. And I was like, fuck. Like, when I left, I like couldn't finish it before I had to leave. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to play all of that again. Like, that sucks. And I came back, and it fortunately does save during the episodes, which is good. But it doesn't save in the interludes. The reason I thought this is, I had the same thing happen with the interlude before this for the entertainment, and I probably played 80% of it, and then I had to leave, and I turned it off, and then I had to get, you know, play back to that spot again.
Oh, man, that's rough.
For the entertainment, like, you don't do anything. You, like, look at people talking, and it's engaging. It's good stuff. Like, I liked it when I played it before, but having to replay it was numbing. It was rough having to do that, which that's not the game's fault. Like, I should have just played the interlude when I had time, but I was afraid this episode was the same way, and so when it felt like it was going nowhere at times and also like jumped scenes and stuff, I was like, what the hell, why isn't this over? Like, it felt like that a little bit. Yeah. And I feel bad. I think that my personal experience playing this clouded it a bit. I think the episode itself is odd, and I suspect the things we'll get in here will have good payoff, but it did feel like it was like a lot of weird details, even more than the previous two episodes, that probably count a lot in episodes 4 and 5. But I felt like that mixed with the experience playing was a bit of a bummer. So I feel like for me, I'm like, okay, this one is my least favorite episode of the three so far. It might pay off and like feel other ways afterwards. But I think that what the episode brought and what I was personally in didn't match up great for it.
Yeah, that's fair. I think my favorite episode is 2. Mm-hmm. And this is my second favorite episode.
Okay.
I think one was good, but I think it, like, I had no idea what to expect. And I wasn't expecting what it was. So, but once I started playing Act 2, I was like, all right, this is weird, but I like it. This is going somewhere. I want to find out what happens. But I didn't really feel that until towards the end of Episode 1, when it started to get really weird. I was like, okay, I'm intrigued now. So I think, you know, this episode was more confusing, but it still progressed the story and added more things like, okay, I want to figure out what that is, or, you know, hopefully we figure out what the hell the skeletons are. What happens with Conway, like, having to work at the distillery. If I was him, I just wouldn't go back the next day. Like, what are they going to do, you know? Things like that.
Yeah, no, that's good. I kind of think I would feel that way too. I think my personal, like, experience just kind of fucked it up, because after episode 2, I was like so stoked and doing the entertainment. Like, when we did that, I was like, this is fucking awesome. I'm super stoked. And then I think maybe I just felt personally rushed and busy, and maybe that, I think that probably took away more than it could have or should have. So, I'm going to definitely want to be, I don't know. I'm glad to have this information in mind now for the future, like the next 2 episodes, so I can kind of take it as it is.
Yeah. I think, yeah, what my last sort of general feedback or thoughts on this is, like, I felt really bad for Conway in this episode. He just got kind of screwed lots of different ways. So, like, you know, the leg bill, the potential insane amount of money it's going to cost him, that sucked. Some of the flashbacks you got too, like him talking to Lisette and about, like, Charlie dying, and I think they mentioned they were like, this will be the last delivery, like, that, I don't know why, that was just kind of sad. I think too, something I remember from the previous episode, when they were in, like, the Museum of Dwellings, I think it's called, there was some dialogue about how like, I think the museum workers were, like, talking about Conway, and they were saying, like, oh, he's, like, an alcoholic, look at him, something, something. And then, knowing that, like, seeing him have to drink that alcohol, I was like, oh, dude, that fucking sucks. And he did it, and I was like, that's bad. And then there's also, I don't know if you got this dialogue, but when you're, like, inspecting the delivery truck in the distillery, I don't know if it's, like, a, it's like a, the screen goes kind of dark, and there's like a flashback narrative, but it talks about how Conway got, like, drunk and, like, was really late to do a delivery for Lisette and Ida, or Ira, I forget his name, Ida, and then they made Charlie go instead of him because they were pissed at him, and he's like, he can't even deliver this, he's, like, too drunk, and then Charlie, I think Charlie died on that. So there was, like, a lot of things like that that was like, man, that's sad. Jeez. And then now he's maybe in, stuck working for this shitty distillery. But again, if I was him, I just wouldn't show up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and...
So, yeah, that was a lot of sad for Conway.
Right, no. And, well, because, too, like you said, this was the one... The delivery he's on right now is the last one. Like, the antique company is closing, it sounds like. And it's sort of this, like, shitty thing of, like, man, Ida or Ira, I don't remember his name either. Like... thought he could get this company, keep it going, and, like, you know, we're finally at the end of the line sort of thing. And so it seems like Conway has, like, a almost like a duty type feeling of, like, I need to get this done, to get the last one done for him sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of sad. I, like, hopefully it has a somewhat happy ending for him in Act 5, but I'm not sure if it will.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's gonna happen for our people here. Like, because of how weird and bleak things seem, I'm like, I don't know if things are gonna get better for them, or if it's gonna be like, and stuff is still shitty. Like, I don't know. I could totally see that still being the case. But yeah, I hope something good happens to them. I hope they hit the lottery, so to speak, or I guess literally, if that's a thing in the game, but
yeah, probably not.
Yeah, probably not, but I hope something works for them. Like, I hope that something happens in their favor. But I'm real curious to see what comes next act, though, of, like, Are we going to finally make it to Dogwood Drive? Is Conway going to have his first day at the distillery? Like, I don't know.
I just don't... Do you think he could just not go? And I mean, I assume they'd somehow find him. But I don't know how they could make him work there. You know, I kind of wonder if it's going to get weirder. Like, because, again, if I was him, I wouldn't do it. You know, I'd just say no and see what happens.
I imagine it would be one that... I imagine what will happen is if you don't go, then they're going to say, you missed this time, now you're in debt more. And
I would just keep saying no. I was like, your debt's not real. Like, so I don't care.
Yeah, I think that's probably Conway. That's how Conway could go around it. But I wonder if they'll say, well, now you're in more debt. And Conway's like, okay, I guess I got to go in. Or maybe they'll be like, okay, we're going to talk to the judge or whatever, like, you know, you have all this debt here and like we're gonna have to get you cleared of that. So, you know, I don't know. I feel like there'll be something sketchy that will make him have to work.
Yeah, maybe he could just burn down the distillery. That'd be great. Just sure that's not an option. Not that kind of game.
Where's the burn the distillery option?
Yeah. You gotta explore the whole distillery, then there's a button you can push. To destroy it.
Destroy. No. That'd be... Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how they wrap that up for that. And it seems like Joseph, Lula, and Donald are going to have to all come together for something at some point in the episode two. It seems like them reuniting for something seems, I don't know, necessary, almost. Like... for them to be able to move on, because it seems like they were all close and then they've all become distant because of probably a variety of things that have happened while they work together. But it seems like something's gonna have to call them together, I think.
I agree. It'll be cool to see just in general how all the different things in this game kind of converge at the end. Mm-hmm. And hopefully make some sense. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I would be about that. That's all I've got about this act. Do you have anything else?
No, yeah, that covers it for me.
Sweet. Cool. Well, that is Act 3 of Kentucky Route Zero. If there's stuff that we totally missed and you guys are like, you idiots, this... I would really like to know that. That would be helpful. that would be great. But also, I hope you had good experiences with Act 3. If you have things that are highlights or thoughts that we might have missed, that would be cool to know about too. That is Act 3. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do that on Twitter at StoryEverPod. Our website's thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. That's got our backlog of episodes, including the previous ones for Kentucky Route Zero. Along with a bunch of other stuff, and wherever you get podcasts, we're there too. But if you'd like to support the podcast financially, you can do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. For as little as $1 per month, that will get you access to some bonus episodes we do each month. We do one each month, and we do kind of topical stuff. So we've talked about, like, our favorite villains in video games, I believe, or our favorite Pokemon, favorite games from childhood, stuff like that. So if that interests you, check that out. If you would like to support the podcast but can't financially, a rate or a review on like Apple Podcasts or Podchaser or whatever, that would be super helpful just to be able to get the word out and, I don't know, be able to share games with more people. That'd be really cool. And, that's our episode, and we'll see you next time.
Yep, later.